Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the 10th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 10. I don't know who's back there at the PowerPoint, but go ahead and put my first slide up there, and then I think I can take it from that point. We'll see. I've not tried this. Look at that. This 10th chapter, the whole 10th chapter, is talking about a ministry plan that Jesus has presented to his disciples. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, Jesus has a ministry plan for every one of us. Let's see. That didn't work. Maybe I went the wrong direction. Let's try that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm still a whiteboard guy, you know. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 42 is our text this morning. Verse number 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. You see, if you haven't come to this understanding yet, you will as you study the Word of God. The fact that Jesus was not casual about anything that he did. Now, that's not to say that he didn't have a good time. I believe he had a good time with the disciples. I think they laughed. I think that Jesus smiled. But he was exacting. And we need to understand that he has not changed. That he has a plan for our lives. Things that he has ordained just for us. There were plans, and let's see if we can kind of unpackage what I'm saying here. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus lays out a ministry plan for his disciples and for all of us. Although his plan for us may be different in its particulars, the need for all of the elements will be the same. In other words, the basic principles that Jesus set down for his disciples will be the same principles that you and I can and should look for in the ministry plan that he has for our lives. I believe that, and I believe that because of many years of following the plans of the Lord Jesus. I see all of these elements present each time that he unfolds a new plan or new circumstance for my life. So I believe this at the level of Scripture. I believe it in the level of practice, that as you submit to the ministry that the Lord has for your life, he will place, if you will, not maybe in the same order, but he will place before you and in that ministry plan all the same elements that he laid out for the disciples in Matthew 10. How many of you agree that if what I'm saying to you is truth, that it's kind of important that we know what it says? Okay? So I can tell you right now, I'm going to try to unpackage in the next 35 or 40 minutes. I'm going to try to unpackage all 42 of these verses. That's impossible. I encourage you, if you're serious about your relationship with the Lord, that you spend some time here. Because I can give you the high points. But what God wants to do in your life and in my life will go much deeper than that, and it will have specificity to it. It will go to the very specific ministry that he has called you to have and to unpackage. All right, let's see here. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the power of ministry. The need cannot be driven by the driving force, there we go, behind ministry. There have been many people who have seen a need and ran out to meet that need, but they were not the right person, or it was not the right time for that ministry to unfold. We have to be very careful as believers, because the longer that you walk with the Lord, the softer your heart gets. Think about it a minute. It's true. I've seen the most hardened of individuals, and if they are truly submitting their lives to the Lord, they just get softer and softer. That big old burly guy who never cried, who never told anybody that they loved him and all of that, you watch as the Holy Spirit gets into them and starts breaking all that down. Before you know it, they're weeping like babies. The Lord softens our hearts. And you know what happens with a soft heart? Every need that you come across, you want to meet. So we need to be careful to not be driven by the need. Now, yes, if the Lord is taking you into a ministry, it will get you down in here as well as up here. Okay? So you are going to have some of that, even if the Lord is opening up the door, maybe a lot of it. But you cannot just step off into a ministry simply because there's a need that exists. The power of ministry comes from the authority given by Jesus to the person he has called to the task. See, we coming to this understanding is a step of maturity. Okay, the things that I'm going to give you here this morning, these are not Sunday school. But see, along the way, we have got to take some of the next steps in Christian faith. Is that okay? So this may be beyond where you're at in your walk with the Lord, but just observe, listen, take it to heart, and realize that the Lord will take you the next steps. But again, I say the power of ministry comes from the authority given by Jesus to the person he has called to the task. When the Lord calls you to do something, he will give you the authority just like he did the disciples. Listen to this. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. This was a specific authority that he was placing upon them, a right, a ability to be able to go out and to heal, to cast out devils, to do miracles. Because you see, he was doing something not just for the community, but he was doing something in their lives. He was preparing and training them. Just say this out loud. The Lord is training me. Okay? So he will send us out with authority in our lives. I've seen many a new believer who acted and moved in more authority than individuals who had walked with the Lord for many years. There's a couple of things that are involved there. One is their simplicity of faith, because they have believed Jesus to forgive them of their sins, and now they're willing to believe him for the miraculous. So that's part of it. But it is also just Matthew 10 unfolding in their lives, where the Lord places upon them authority to do a task, to move out in ministry, and to see the miraculous, so that they know that he will do that through them. These 12 would one day all be sitting in prison cells. They would be up against incredible opposition. They needed to know that the authority and the power of the Lord was flowing through them. And I can tell you with all assurance that the Lord wants to give you authority for the ministry that he has called you to do. That authority will come as wisdom. That authority will come in the power of the Holy Spirit as a gift of faith at times, where you will step up beyond your own faith, your own ability, and you will lay hands upon somebody and believe for their healing, and the Spirit of God moving through you, and the promises of Jesus enacting, and the sacrifice that Jesus made for that healing will all fall into alignment, and that person will be healed. Hallelujah! See, I want you this morning to realize that when we are on task, when we are on ministry task, where the Lord wants us, at the time that the Lord wants us to be there, that there is power and authority that is loosed like nothing you will ever see in any other station of your life. Long for it. The power of a ministry plan is the authority that Jesus gives to us for the task that he has appointed. All right, let's see if we can get to the second part. Oh, Matthew 10:1. The people of a ministry plan. The 12 disciples were the ones who were dispatched on this particular occasion, according to Matthew 10:2 through 6. But note the specificity of the call. As you go on down there in verse number 5, it says these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. They had a specific task, a specific people group that they were to go to. Later on, he would open up the package a little bit further and actually send them among the Gentile nations, but not until after Israel had a chance, an opportunity to turn their hearts to him. Sometimes the Lord will send you, if you'll accept this analogy, to the low-hanging fruit, especially as you're starting off. He will give you the ministry task to go to individuals who he has already prepared, and you have the opportunity to be that last person that talks to them and lead them to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! How many love it when you talk to them about Jesus and they immediately want to accept him? I can tell you right now that that's not always the case. So whenever the Lord leads you in your task and he gives you specific people to go to and they accept the Lord, hang on to it, brothers and sisters, because the Lord is doing that so that you will know that you're on task for him. The people of ministry includes those to whom we are sent. You say, oh my goodness, Pastor, this is getting so specific. Absolutely. Knowing where the Lord is dispatching you. Well, how can I know where the Lord is dispatching me? On your knees. Listening to his voice. He will, if you will allow him, he will speak into your life and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 will come alive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what? He will direct your path. You see, too many of us, once again, we see a need and we're off and running. Well, the Lord will do it. Lord, bless where I'm going because here I go. That's not biblical. Now, it's biblical to have the desire to go, but you and I need to stop long enough in an upper room and get the power from on high before we run out and try to speak in the name of the Lord. I don't stand up here and preach the gospel to you until I have matched the amount of time that I will speak to you, at least on my knees talking to the Lord. Because, see, it's not about my study. I've done this for over 50 years. I know how to study. But it's about what does the Lord want to say. So it's not about the knowledge that you may know. Oh, well, I don't need to prepare. I already know it's all up in here. I've got all these scriptures memorized. Phooey. That's a technical term, by the way. Phooey. All of our knowledge and all of our ability is empty in being able to change a single life, church. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the direction of the Holy Spirit. You may be messing somebody up for the sake of the gospel by going to them when you're not sent. But oh, when you are sent, the power, the authority, the glory of the presence of the Lord upon your life, and you will hear words coming out of your mouth that you never thought of. Well, I never thought of that. That's pretty cool. That's what your mind is saying at the same time that your mouth is speaking. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, let me tell you, the God who created your mouth can enable your mouth to say whatever He desires for it to say. The only variable in there is whether or not you will allow Him to do that. You see, that's the whole thing of ministering before the Lord and speaking in other tongues. Is you've got to give up your acts of will and let His will and His Spirit take over. And many people, I might make strange sounds. Hey, let me tell you something. About the time that you let the Holy Spirit pour through your life and you start speaking because you're the sent one for that hour, for that person, for that place, and you know you're right there, and you begin to speak, and you, with your ears, are listening to your mouth say things that you never thought that you could say or that you hadn't thought of saying, you want to get kind of excited right there in front of the person. It's kind of like, whoa, what just happened? God wants to do that in us, church. He wants to unfold His ministry plan, which is driven and powered by His Holy Spirit. He wants to do things in you and me that we could not do ourselves. Too many of us who call ourselves Christians, we are content to walk in our own power. Oh yes, I'm a believer, and one day I'm going to go to heaven. But I can handle it from here. No, you can't. We cannot do the ministry that the Lord has called us to do on our own. You know how I know that? Because if we could, He would never have sent the third person of the Trinity to come and abide within us and to empower us to do the work of the ministry. We need His authority, His presence, His power to enable us to do the work. Believe it, say amen. Oh, we are not the Lord of the harvest. Hello? I think, would you just read that last line out loud? Go ahead. Yeah. So that means we are not the one who dispatches to the fields that are ripe. Let the Lord of the harvest decide when it's picking time, when it's harvest time. I've had farmers in my church before, and me, not being a farmer, I would drive by those stalks, you know, that were like 8 foot tall out there of corn, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, man, those things are ready to pick. Why aren't the farmers out there picking them? And I've approached some of them, you know, they were in my church, and say, hey, aren't you ready to get in the field? Oh, no, Pastor, it'll be another month or so. Well, my goodness, that's the corn's 8 foot tall. Huge ears on it. Isn't it time? No. It's not time. It needs to sit there and dry out. What? Oh, we know the time. He said, sometimes I... you know, grab an ear of it and I'll take it in and have it tested and see what the moisture level is. I know exactly when I need to get in the field. Why? Because He's the Lord of His harvest. The Lord knows exactly when you and I need to talk to our neighbor or our children or our friends. The Lord knows exactly the right time. He knows what preparations have been made. And if you and I will believe that He is the Lord of the harvest, He will dispatch us into the field at the right moment to pick that harvest, to be able to sow seed, to give to that person what they need at the time that they need it. Praise the Lord. You know, many years ago, I went into a congregation that had been 26 years in existence and had never had in the house more than 30 people. And they had fought and almost killed each other the week before I was there. They had a fist fight in the parking lot. I've told you some of this story before. 18 of them sat on one side, 18 of them sat on the other side, and they just despised one another. Had an old house next door, and they took the kids over there, and so then they chose up sides. The only positive was they came to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They never wanted the percentages to get off. They're afraid that the other side would take over. That takes me to my next point, and that is the preaching of ministry, you know, what it is that you're going to tell. Jesus is very specific to his disciples. He said, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. But I can tell you this morning that the Lord, if you will allow him, will give you the message of the hour that is specific to the people, plural or single, that you will be going to. To that church, and you can ask my wife, because she's never been bashful to tell me what she thinks about my preaching. Oh, I don't know, after about seven months of being there, she said to me one Sunday going home from church, she said, just how many times are you going to preach love out of the entire Bible? I said, well, every single week I get on my knees, I pray and ask the Lord what it is that he wants me to preach, and he brings me to another passage, and that is what he's talking about, of how his driving force is love. Preached it in every way that you could imagine. I was questioning it. Every time another message would come to the surface and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, she's right. I don't like to admit that. For about 8 or 9 months, sermon after sermon after sermon, and remember, this was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I had the exact same people sitting in front of me. Every single, they drugged themselves in when they were sick because they didn't want the percentages to get off. So they listened. But I watched as the Holy Spirit turned the heart of that congregation. And I've told you about the couple that came walking in, and they were not from the area. They came in and they lifted their hands up and began to praise and worship the Lord. And the Spirit of God broke in that place, and then we doubled in attendance. Every year, I left 300 people there. You know what? If you get on task with what God wants to do and you are willing to preach and teach what he wants preached and taught, miracles will happen. Things will occur that have never happened before in people's lives. Don't get so able that you think you know in advance what it is that you're supposed to preach. Get on your face before the Lord and accept what he has. Let's see, I think I have a few things written up here. A God-given ministry plan demands that we follow the instructions of the Lord. Absolutely. Jesus instructed them to preach a single message. The kingdom of heaven is near. The actions that accompanied the preaching: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. You know, that's very specific. You imagine these guys as they went out. He sent them out two by two. But imagine as they went out, every time that they ran across somebody with leprosy, what bell went off in their minds? Well, Jesus said to heal the lepers. Come here, leper guy. Come here, leper woman. Because I have been given authority by the Lord Jesus to lay my hands upon you and you will be made whole. Come here, demon-possessed man. They didn't run away from the demon-possessed, no matter how mean or ornery or hateful or anything that they were. They went right to them because they were dispatched to that ministry. I'm telling you this morning that the Lord wants to give you a ministry plan for your life that will include the hurting people, those that maybe you would run away from on normal circumstances, and the Lord says, go to them. Last week I was at General Council, and thank you all so much for sending us and enable us to go. It was one of the best councils that I've ever been to. It was just glorious. But one of the most beautiful hours that I spent was at the senior minister's luncheon. This was only the second one that I was qualified to go to. But oh my goodness, what a grand time. I sat with two heroes of faith. One was Owen Carr, who pastored Stone Church in Chicago and built a huge ministry there, worldwide ministry. And he's in his 90s now, and he and his wife were sitting across the table from me and you know, just, wow, filled my life. And sitting right next to me was Roger Hull. Roger is the CEO of an international ministry that starts dream centers in communist countries. Right now, he has just started three in Pakistan. If you don't know about the dream centers, what they're doing is they are ministering to the kids who have been stolen, if you will, from homes and placed on the street. And they take them off of the street and for a whole year re-educate them and preach the gospel to them. And I mean, wow, wow. I'm telling you that the Lord is still sending. The Lord is still calling people. The Lord is still laying out ministry plans. If your ears are tuned, the Lord has one for you. So is the Lord going to send me to Pakistan? Probably not. The hardest field that you may have to work in may be your own field, the one right around your house. But be prepared to go where He wants you to go, to do what He wants you to do, and to say what He wants you to say. Because you see, that's where the power is at. Pastor Steve and I, you know, we talk quite a bit about ministry and study and preaching the Word and all of this. You know, be a number of times that either he or I will say to the other, you know, I wanted to go down this track, but I can't seem to get away from this message that's going down this way. He's still doing it, folks. He's still saying, preach this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go out there and find the sick and heal them. Find the ones that have leprosy and heal them. Cast out the demons. He's still dispatching his people to do his work. Why? Because that's his only method of touching this world, is through those who have accepted him as Savior. So, well, I take communion. Folks, that's only the beginning. Recognizing that Jesus is our Savior and that He is the Lord of our life, that's only the beginning. This is a moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, life living in His presence according to His will. You say, but oh, I've got to earn money for my family. He is fully aware of every need that you have in your life. What He wants to do is to use you to fulfill His ministry plan for your life. Let me go to the next thing. Provisions for a ministry plan. The uniqueness of this particular occasion, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, He said, don't take anything. He said, I don't even want you to take a change of clothes. I'm sending you out. Don't take any food. Don't take any clothes. Don't take any provisions. I want to send you out just like that. I'll bet there was a little muttering that went on. You all know what muttering is, right? How many practice muttering? Yeah. I'm sure that there was a little, you know, under the breath, low, so he couldn't hear conversations that go, hey, I really like to take my toothbrush. Huh? I don't know if I'll be able to find that one kind of food that I like. I'd like to take that along. Jesus said, don't bother to take anything along. Why did he do that? Because he was training them. If you take the time and study the Gospels, you will find that then after this, he told them, he said, okay, now take your change of clothes, take everything that you need, take your provisions, and go forth in ministry. So this is a specific thing for a specific occasion. But what was he trying to teach them? He was trying to teach them that he will provision them. You say, I don't know how. I don't know how this could be paid for. If I do this, how could it be paid for? That's not your problem. Your problem is to have the willingness to go, to step out, to do what the Lord has asked you to do, and He will supply. My God will supply all your needs according to the size of the need. Is that what it says? No. Some of you know the Bible enough. It says according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He will not send us to do anything that He will not provision us to do. Now, can I tell you, that may not be easy. There are times that He will drive you to your knees to pray for that provision. But when it comes, you'll know it was from Him. Hello? Anybody ever lived any of this? You know, I said to the Lord last night as I was praying over this, late last night, as I was praying over this, Lord, I'm not sure that, forgive me, but I'm not sure that most people really care about this. They're willing to let the preacher do it. Preacher, you'd go do the work of ministry. Every single one of us who belong to the Lord Jesus have a calling and a ministry. It's not a question as to whether there's a ministry for you. The only question is, are you living and carrying out that ministry? That's the only question that exists in this. The Lord will provide. The blessing of ministering to those who minister. He unpackages this in that passage. Matthew chapter 10, verses 9 to 20. He says, you go into a house. Just choose a house. Go into that house and extend to them peace. And if they do not receive you, then leave that house and go to another. In other words, there is, when you are doing the work of the ministry, there is a power that goes along with you, a provision power that goes along with you that blesses not only you, but it blesses those that help you to accomplish the ministry that God has ordained for you to accomplish. I don't know if you remember when David was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel. He wanted that abiding presence of the Lord to be in his house. He wanted it close by. And so he decided to go and get the Ark and to bring it in. Well, he didn't bother to read the scriptures. He just went after it, and he's dancing and praising the Lord and everything. But they had it on a new cart. Well, that makes sense. You put a new cart for that provision of the Lord's presence, that Ark of the Covenant. But then it began to shake. And one of the priests reached up and put his hand on it to steady it. And they were never to touch it by the law of God. And so he dropped dead on the spot. And David was angry with the Lord because the Lord did not do that the way that David thought. So they left it at one of the Levites' home called Obed-Edom, left it in his backyard and put a tent over it. But lo and behold, word began to come out that the place of that dwelling, at Obed-Edom's house, the blessings of the Lord were coming upon everything that he had. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was there. And David says, hold on a minute. Obed-Edom, he's a nice guy and all of that. But I want those blessings. I want the presence of the Lord in my house. So then he sought the counsel of the priest, who said, no, the Ark of the Covenant should be carried on the shoulders of the priest and no other way. He said, do it. And they went and got the Ark and they brought it into the city of David so that the blessings of the Lord would be upon his house. I'm telling you, hear me. When you see somebody and they're in the midst of a ministry that God has ordained, you want to support them. You want to step into that because That's where the blessings of the Lord are at. Now, that's kind of strange. Because, you know, you would think I would just simply say, give all your money here. No. You support what God is doing. Because, you see, I believe that we're doing what God wants done. So He's going to provision this. And those who decide to participate in this are going to be blessed. And see, I've already seen it happen in some of your lives. As the Lord has enabled you to sell more, to do more, to rise up in your companies and all this, God's blessings are upon you because you are participating in what He has done. You can say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So quiet. Ooh, look at this. He says we need to plan for persecution in our ministry. Okay, let's just skip on through this. Oh, every ministry plan must have contingencies for persecution. Jesus said, expect persecution from your family. Jesus said, expect to be hated by all men. Wow, maybe we need to close the book on this. That's not good. Say, could we go in a different direction, Pastor? No. You see, what he's telling us is truth. When opposition comes in one place, he says, move to another. Look at it, verses 34 to 42. See, we need to understand this. Sometimes we act like we're surprised that persecution comes when we're doing the work of the ministry. I can tell you right now, you take on a ministry position here in the church. You say you're going to teach our children, you're going to do something. Look out. Because you see, the enemy of our soul, how many know we have an enemy? Two of you. Let me see once again. How many of you knew that we have an enemy? Yes. As surely as we have a Savior and a Lord who provisions us and ministers to us, we have an enemy. So when we open our little mouths and we say, yes, I will go where the Lord wants me to go, I will do what He wants me to do, the enemy says, and I will do everything I can to slow you down and stop you. And the persecution will not always come out of somebody's mouth. Sometimes he will attack a refrigerator or a stove or a furnace or a rice washer and dryer or a heating unit or an air conditioning unit. And you know when it usually happens? Let me just tell you right off the bat. Saturday night. Water heater will go out Sunday morning before church. Huh? My throat's getting scratchy. I'm supposed to sing this morning? I better call Pastor Steve and tell him I can't. Uh-huh. I think I got a cold coming on. The enemy loves it. You can almost hear him going, cha-ching, I got him. They were on task to do the work of the ministry. And I got him with a scratchy throat. You know, I determined a long time ago, if I have to get up and mouth the words, I'm going to do it. Just to put it in the face of the enemy who wants to turn this thing back. Make a plan. As sure as the Lord begins to lay out a plan of ministry before you, you know that thing, maybe you don't. Here's what happens. You see, it kind of begins down inside of you. And all of a sudden, you know, you'll start thinking thoughts that you hadn't thought before. You know, as a man, let's take a man here, and all of a sudden he starts thinking, you know, feel like I need to work with some of our young boys. Now, I've never thought about that before. And you know, I've only raised daughters. So I'm not really sure that I would know how to do that. But you know, I just can't get out of my heart that maybe I need to go back there and check out the Royal Rangers. I don't know where this has come from. I don't know. Maybe I read something. Maybe I ate something last night. I'll see if it... I'll just sit on this a little while. You know, a year or two. And see if it'll go away. But then every time you lay your head on the pillow at night, you're thinking about these young boys running around that might need some counsel, that might need some wisdom, that might need a godly man who wants to do something besides beat on them like their father beat on them. Maybe you know, they may need to see how a real man reacts and acts. So it begins to kind of churn down within you. And then, you know, here's what happens. You walk up to one of our ranger guys and you say, you know, I've been kind of thinking about coming in there and, you know, seeing what you guys are doing. And of course, every one of them would go, yeah, come. Wednesday night. Love to have you. Okay, I will. Worst 3 days of your life. Now we might as well be truthful. Brother, you pastor, isn't this true? Worst 3 days of your life. Everything under the sun will happen. Your car will break down. Your nose will run. Your feet will stink. Every single thing that you can imagine will take place over those 3 days to discourage you. And if the enemy can discourage you, there will be applause in hell. When either you don't show up or else you call the Royal Ranger leader and say, you know what, I've been thinking about this, I'm just not sure. So much is happening in my life, I just don't know that I can participate. Huh? And the enemy goes, got another one. Now come on, imagine with me, when these 12, ordained, empowered, given the authority by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out two by two and to see the miraculous happen. He told them what to preach, he told them that persecution was going to come, he gave them everything that they could possibly need. There's more, but I'm not going to teach it today. He gave them everything that they needed. What if they would have gone, oh man. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for me to follow you. Yeah, I really like following you all over Judea. This is really neat. But I mean, to go out on my own? You know, that's not my gifting. I'm kind of a backward person. Huh? My name is Thaddeus. Nobody knows Thaddeus. Come on. I mean, give the task to Peter. I mean, you renamed him. His name was Simon. You renamed him. Give the task to him. Or John and Andrew. You know, they're right there. They're the three that you take up and show everything to. Anyway, give the task to them. We'll sit back here. We'll wait on these guys to come back. And we'll rejoice with them when they do it. No, all 12 of them went out, and all 12 of them came back, and they were astounded at the miracles and the things that God did through them. Listen to me, Christian. Be reluctant to call yourself a Christian if you're not willing to be dispatched by Jesus, because Christian means Christ-like, and He was dispatched from heaven for you. He came into this world and died for you and for me. Is there anything that He could ask that would be too much? You say, but, oh, I've got so much going on in my life. If you've got too much going on in your life to listen to the Lord, then you've got too much going on in your life.